The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome. The lights, the red lights have come on, Kingy, which can only mean one thing.
You need to stop.
When the red lights come on, it generally can mean a couple of things, but it means that the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast has commenced season nine, episode 303. And actually, I think it's season 303 and episode 9, Kingy. Off the back of a good, solid performance against a wounded Bulldogs, Kingy.
It was more than solid.
It was well.
It was a smackdown. I know they were wounded.
Have you ever had a smackdown? Have you ever been involved in a smackdown?
No, I haven't.
Have you?
The Dogs.
Was it a can of whoop-ass being opened?
There was a very big can of whoop-ass opened.
Well, they were wounded, though, the Bulldogs. They're in the vet.
But they were 32 points down at quarter time before they were wounded.
Yes, I don't disagree. And the Cats played well in that first half. And then Bulldogs played well in the third quarter. Geelong were always going to get on top when they had one on the bench in the final term. But, it was Geelong's best effort. I listened to the press conference of the coach, or I watched the press conference of the coach yesterday. Mm-hmm. Did you watch that?
No.
It was interesting.
Why?
You were there, weren't you?
What?
Were you there?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the post-match.
No, the one from yesterday.
I was there yesterday.
It was very interesting, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, so there was only three and a half journos there.
Who's the half?
So Jono Kendall from the ABC is a video journalist, so he has the ability to film. And also if he needs to ask questions, but he rarely does. So let's go with 3.5. So David Zita from Fox, he of the Tribunal coverage.
Yep.
Dan Batten from the Addy.
Yep.
And myself.
Bit of video action, was it?
Yeah. So I just sit back and let the ones sort of who are under Rupert's control do their thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting though, wasn't it? He made a good point, which I agreed with, that he suggested the Cats weren't jumping up and down over the win, given the state of the Bulldogs. No. I know we just spoke about when everyone was on deck early, Geelong were by far the better team. Bulldogs looked, well off it. But
he's not going to come out and say, oh, we are flying.
No, but he did. Credit to him. He said that, the Bulldogs had plenty of problems and we'll take it and move on, but we're not, beating our chest. The fans can leave that to the fans, and he didn't say that. But, that's the sort of fans' sphere, and we'll just concentrate on it. It was a good win, 4-2. He seemed sort of quite happy with 4-2 in terms of six rounds. He was asked where the Cats were. And then it was interesting because he's pretty sharp, Chris Scott, but he was...
He is pretty sharp, yes.
Yeah, and he obviously was at pains to get out that it was the AFL not letting Tyson Stengel play.
Mm.
So that wasn't a slip-up. That was pre-planned.
But I think he was repeating too, and I think the door had been opened for him on Tuesday night on the TV shows to say that it was the AFL that were having control.
He clearly is very, very unhappy with that.
Yes.
So there's a situation around Tyson Stengel who, if we believe, he's not showing up to training regularly. He's there one day, he's not the next.
That was one question that he bristled at about inconsistent attendance.
Yeah, which is, training. I think that's known.
Yep.
I think Tyson Stengel doesn't realise how small Geelong is.
Very small.
Yeah. So he's not turning up to training. He'll turn up and then he doesn't. And we don't know. Clearly a couple of weeks ago maybe he'd had a good block of training and they thought he was close. I don't think that has happened in the last fortnight.
Well, maybe it hasn't happened because he's got word that he's not the AFL are holding him back and he's going, if you're holding me back, why should I?
So this is obviously centres around the AFL's drug policy.
We don't know that.
No, but that's the alleged.
Yeah.
And that it's out of Chris Scott's control because he has no idea. He can't be told. The footy boss can, the CEO can, and there was one other in the club. I think there was three people.
He'd probably be your doctor, wouldn't it?
The doctor. So, but the senior coach isn't allowed to know the state of affairs with the player, which you think has to be pretty farcical, really, doesn't it? I mean, Chris Scott's probably different because the irony is there that he goes at pains to say, I don't know what goes on in their lives. I don't want to know. It's not my job. I don't care. I'm the last to know. He loves, I'm the last to know.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah, of course he does.
But so I don't know that he has that relationship. But there'd be other coaches who are very close with players.
Yes.
Who may be able to help them through. Yeah. I'd imagine Chris Fagan.
Craig McRae.
Yeah, who have probably more hands-on with that sort of stuff than Chris Scott.
Kenny would have been at Port Adelaide.
Absolutely. So they'd want to know that because they might be pivotal in turning things around.
Yep.
Whereas Chris Scott, he could be pivotal. We don't know the exact relationship he has with a lot of the players. And if you only go on what he says, he's not there to be friends with them.
No.
He's there to coach them.
Yep.
So, but it was interesting that he threw that out there and that it's obviously been debated since. The other one that made me laugh was that I think sometimes he forgets what he says. What he says 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, he said that Jeremy Cameron had a great preseason. He'd broken the arm, but his preseason, he'd be flying. He was as fit as he's been. He's doing yada yada. This isn't about the round one. He didn't play. And then yesterday in press conference, he said, I'll be much better now for the.
Yeah.
Thinking, hang on. A month ago, you were banging. 6 weeks ago, you were banging on how good his preseason was. And now you're saying he's in much better state now than he was a month ago. Thinking, you've got to be careful what. Bullshit you say because you get found out.
But I called him out yesterday because
he cocked up with Mark O'Connor.
Yeah.
But I mean, do you reckon that'll make any difference? No. Even Port Adelaide have gone, we can't win now, Mark O'Connor's playing.
They would have known Mark O'Connor was playing. He's been out suspended.
But why do we continue to play? I mean, why did you just say he's had the week suspension, he was in good form, he'll be back in the side?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to tell us who's coming out, but he can just say he's coming in.
And like he goes, I usually don't do this. And I actually said to him, Chris, that's the second time I've got you this year.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy.
No.
He's a strange cat.
But do you know what? Look, journos, we cop it. And we're shooting fish in a barrel having a crack at journos. But sometimes, too, we've got to actually put our hands up and go, no, hang on, we're calling that out.
Yeah, I agree.
And I didn't do it in a... The tone I used...
You did it in a condescending way. I
did it in a jovial way. So, it's the second time I got you this year.
Yeah. And he admitted it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I got him...
Got him!
I got him, yes. Stick that up your ass, Tony Gregg. It was not interesting. I thought Chris handled himself really well.
Yeah.
He's... The Tyson stuff, the Grind Myers one where he talked about private medical stuff and that. My theory is on this, and I'm happy to be hailed down for it, but if you sign up to play AFL footy in an industry that's worth billions of dollars, if you've got a dodgy knee, media, fans, stakeholders deserve to know about that.
I don't disagree. I mean, the game... is happy to put its hand in the bicky tin for the money generated through gambling.
Correct. And the team selection influences wagering.
It does. And I agree with you. There needs to be more transparency around that. I mean, we've spoken about this before, but the NFL has a policy. You have to... If somebody's not on a medical sheet and doesn't play, you get fined.
So Grind wasn't on the injury report last Tuesday. So not Tuesday gone, one previous.
Yeah.
Off the back of the game at Norwood.
No.
And then doesn't play.
Yeah.
What would happen in the NFL if that was the case?
Oh, you'd be fine. The club would be fine. Yeah. And now some clubs in the NFL flagrantly... I actually don't think they flagrant flaunting of the rules. I wouldn't say that, but...
Flagrant flaunting?
Yeah.
Have you ever flagrantly flaunted?
I've done a couple of times I've flagrantly
flaunted. Fragrantly.
Oh, fragrant.
You've been very fragrant, very
fruity. It's been a fruity arrangement. No, so some of the clubs do, but yeah, there's certainly rules around that, and it's quite strictly policed in the NFL. They don't. It's not something that's just they hit you over the head with a feather duster. They actually, it's quite policed. The system works well there. They didn't have a lot of gambling in their game until recently.
Hmm.
So that's another layer there in terms of the NFL. But I agree with you that, and the thing about King is everybody knows.
Yep.
I mean, everybody knows. I just don't know. You don't have to say everything, but you can at least give your fans, give the people that keep the wheels motion in terms of your footy club by paying memberships some information about the state of a player who's a key player.
At least acknowledge, especially when everybody has reported it as a partial tear of the ACL.
Yeah.
Just come out and say, look, it is.
Well, just say, well, you don't, I mean, I agree. Even if he just acknowledges there's a knee problem there, he won't play this week.
Yeah.
As to whether he plays the following week, we'll wait and see. He perhaps is a chance. We're weighing all things up, but he certainly isn't done for the year at this stage. Yeah. Isn't that all you need to say?
They could have just put a statement out.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't do that.
Because Friday I made contact with somebody at the club about it, and I wasn't the only media making that contact, because obviously somebody went with it on Saturday morning saying it was
a partial tear yeah.
of the ACL. Now, I knew it to... Well, I'd informed it to be that. I was a little bit more circumspect on air, that I said, I think this is a little bit more serious than is Ooh. Being let on, without using the letters ACL on reflection. Do you know what? If I had of, I'm right.
Well, you should say the possible, yeah. possible ACL problem.
Yeah, yeah. Potential.
Yeah,
we love the word potential.
Yeah,
beauty.
Do we do? So but I agree, and I mean, even I'd heard on Friday that that he was that the issue, he had an issue,
yep.
and that it was up in the air on Friday, as to certainly wasn't playing, but as to what were the pathway ahead was going to be, and then this week my understanding is you saw three surgeons, they all came to the same conclusion that. If it's up to him, can he, you know, is he inhibited to a point where he doesn't think he can play? Is it okay? Is there a chance that it goes completely? Yes. Is that chance exacerbated by the fact there's a partial tear? Probably 100%. But is there a chance that you could play on, you know, unencumbered for the rest of the season? And that the answer to that is yes. So that every scenario is there, and it's up to him. And my understanding is that he thinks the Cats are a genuine chance this year and wants to play on, but he will need surgery, which possibly rules him out of next year.
So, yes, Dr. Casanelia.
Yes.
What does a partial tear surgery look like compared to a traditional ACL?
You know when people say my understanding?
Yeah, they have no idea.
No. Yeah. Well, my understanding, and this is I heard this from somebody else on the radio who's in the medical field,
yep.
is that you still need a full reconstruction.
Yes.
For a partial tear.
That's what I would have thought.
Now, whether it's as invasive as a full reco, yep. I don't know, but you do need to go through that process. Whether you can, it speeds up your ability to come back because it isn't a full tear. Mm. I don't know that, but you do have to have a full reconstruction. My understanding is that he will require that if he can make it through
yep.
until season's end. So they weighed up all the factors, and
would that mean that he's potentially not missing all of 2027 then? If it's not as invasive,
well, possibly. I don't know the answer to that.
Yep.
I've no idea. So I'd be talking off the top of my head. All I know is that you still have to go through the path of having, or down the path of having, a full reco
yep.
if that happens. So he will, I mean, the scenarios are, King, you know, I think this is from what he's, for what he's thinking, is that he's not inhibited to the point where he doesn't think he can play.
Yep.
If it went in June, he gets back for next year. If it doesn't and he plays through, he's a chance to be part of something for the Cats this year. Yep. And then, like we said, we don't know the exact ins and outs of the surgery and how long it would be out for. But it could be, if he goes in and has surgery a week after the season ends, he's back again for the back part of next year.
Yep.
So, yeah, at this stage, I think he's playing on. Will he be managed? Probably. I don't think managing him makes, you know, a huge amount of difference.
Yep.
I think it's something that's either going to go, or it's going to stand up, or it's not.
Yep.
But I assume that they probably will, depending upon whether if it gets sore as the season goes. But at this stage, Grant Myers will be seeing him again, bar something happening at training. I would have thought maybe even next week against North Melbourne.
Okay.
Possibly.
Right. Right. We'll keep an eye out for that one. Port Adelaide this week. Gee, the Power were good against Hawthorn.
Yeah, they were. It goes to show how, you know, we're such a week-to-week business, aren't we? Essendon beat Melbourne.
Yep.
Melbourne beat Brisbane. And I watched the Melbourne Brisbane game. Melbourne played really good footy.
Yep.
Really good footy. It was I thought they had the better of Brisbane. I know the game was close, but bar about the last 2-3 minutes of the second quarter, where Brisbane kicked 3 goals in about 2 minutes, Melbourne had the better of the game.
Yep.
And Brisbane stuck away to a 3-goal lead at half time, and then that was gone within not long of the third quarter. But look, it just goes to show, like, you've got St Kilda nearly beating Adelaide.
Mm.
You've got Port Adelaide away nearly beating Hawthorn.
Yep. Melbourne beating Brisbane.
Yeah. This is a big... I reckon this is...
Gold Coast only beating Essendon by 9 points.
And conceding like 100 and...
Yeah, 110.
Yeah. It's we just make predictions off 1 week. This team's no good. This team's on fire. I mean, the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Bulldogs beat Brisbane away, Adelaide away, flying.
Premiership favourites.
Suddenly they can't get out of their own way. So it's so much about timing your run. And I think Chris Scott did make a good point, and he's made this point before. And I don't know that a lot of... I know that every coach acknowledges it, but it depends where you land in the season in terms of the ladder. Depends on when you cop teams. Like Geelong got Geelong played well, but they got the Bulldogs on a night where everything went south for the Bulldogs. Did they go over? They played Adelaide with when Adelaide decided they probably couldn't win the game and rested some players.
They beat
Freo on their merits. Freo probably brought their best side over.
Lost to Hawthorn by a point.
You know, this week, I reckon is a real danger game for the Cats. Let's put it this way: Geelong. If this game's here, it's at the MCG. It's on the moon. It's anywhere. Geelong winning.
Except it's Adelaide Oval.
Port Adelaide the Adelaide Oval just creates that extra layer, and Port Adelaide have enough cattle to make life really interesting for the Cats if the Cats have a bit of an off night.
If Cats
play to 90% of their best, I reckon they win. It's can they do it? They've had a pretty difficult block. I know the West Coast without the West Coast game, but Fremantle, Adelaide, Hawthorn, Bulldogs.
8 day freshen up though.
Yeah, well that will help. It would be interesting to see what they do with selection. I heard him that obviously Henry's in and
O'Connor
back. Who's coming out?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Who is Ollie Wiltshire? Maybe. It wasn't huge.
Well, no, he wasn't.
Or do you just keep persisting with him?
The only thing I'd say, Kingy, is that if you drop Wilshire out and Brad Close doesn't come back in, which you think is, I mean, we don't know. Selection is so, it's such a funny thing with the Cats. They can do things that you don't always think are form related. I mean, everybody was singing Jai Clark's praises for his effort against Freo. Was it Freo?
Adelaide
in the last quarter. And then he gets dropped. Yep. And that was only one quarter and he played.
And doesn't come back. Looks like coming back.
Played well in the VFL though. Do you have 24?
Well, they've only had one game.
Yeah, he played 24 last week.
No VFL this week.
Nevitt had 30.
Yep.
I don't think Nevitt's getting in. I don't think Clark's getting in.
I don't know whether Nevitt will play too many more senior games for Geelong.
I think his time might be up. I mean, he's one I thought probably should have looked at another club where he may have.
Well, maybe the end of the year that's what he's doing.
Yeah. I just wonder with Wilshere getting back to him. He didn't have a great game last week. He's played, six games?
Yep.
So we're not expecting him to be doing anything that's miraculous. The only thing I would say is that he is a bit of a different, assume the weather I think is going to be pretty good. Fast deck at Adelaide Oval. He's a bit different to, Ollie Henry if he stays in. Wouldn't surprise me if he came out. He's a bit different to him. He's a bit different to a sort of a manner,
yep.
Dangerfield or Jack Martin. He's a speed sort of can break the lines a little bit. Geelong don't have that. So maybe they think for the balance of the team, they need that sort of player in there. So O'Connor comes in. I'm not suggesting he's going to play forward, but it may be O'Connor comes in, plays a different role.
Yep.
Someone like an Ollie Henry comes out who didn't have a great game.
So who goes to Butters? Is it Mullen or O'Connor?
Well, that's I would have thought Mullen.
Game 50 for Oisin Mullen, by the way, too.
Yeah, I did see that. I would have thought Mullen. It's an obvious one. I don't know that they really have anything that's electric up forward in terms of you need to a small, mid-size forward that you need to go to. He's a perfect size to take on Butters. He's feisty. He's quick. Is Butters going to have him in terms of footy smarts? Yes, but he showed he could follow around Bonapelli, which I thought was a really good effort because he... Face value, you don't think Mullen is probably equipped to go with a bottom pally. I mean, he'd have to be giving, 14 centimetres?
Yep.
10 to 14 centimetres?
Something like that, yep.
Anyway, he did a really good job. So I would have thought Butters, Horn Francis, I don't know that they'll tag Horn Francis.
Yep.
I wouldn't have you're not going to go with two tags?
No.
If they could shut down Butters, that would go a long way to winning. The other one who played really well last week for Port Adelaide down back is Marshall.
Yep.
He was really good. Now, I'm not suggesting we need to be having grand plans for him, but he with no Radigalia, he's gone back and played really well against Hawthorn, so they're going to have to find a way to get around him. Do you reckon there'll only be the two changes?
I couldn't see there being many more.
So yeah. it's O'Connor in and Jack Henry in.
Yeah. Oh, Close would be the only other one they're considering.
Do you think would they rest somebody like a Tom Stewart?
No. So looks like Stewart is preparing for his 200th to be
Brisbane.
No, Collingwood.
Right.
Yeah, been brought forward.
Which means he can't miss.
No.
Right. Well, why are you saying that? How do you know that? You're just through contacts.
Yes.
And the contacts have initials MN.
No.
Oh, right.
No.
Someone at South Barnes told you.
No.
Because the players at South Barnes are organising stuff around it.
Yeah. There's not only players at South Barnes, there's players at other local clubs as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So everybody, it's like one of those things Tyson's going, everyone in Geelong knows exactly. Everyone knows that Grime Myers has got a partial tear of his ACL, except the coach.
Yeah.
So everybody in Geelong knows that Tom Stewart is playing this week because he's organised his 200th for a certain time, and everyone knows when that certain time is.
Yep.
Yeah. So, oh, wow.
It's Geelong.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it happens at other clubs too. That those words get out.
Yeah.
The player will say to a family member, you know, all going well, I'm going to play my 200 here.
Yep.
The family member tells his mate tells his cousin.
It's like Mark Blitzars was never playing his 300 in Adelaide.
No.
Never.
No. And we knew Jake Colajazzi was coming in.
Yeah.
Because he's talking about his 200th game.
Yeah.
Like on Monday. Yep. About 5 minutes after the previous game had ended.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. So, okay. So Stewart's staying in. I'm just trying to think who they might rest for Jack Henry if they're going to rest somebody out of the defence. Would
Collar have a spell after a couple back?
Oh, I wouldn't have thought. It's not beyond the realms, but I wouldn't have thought. He's missed so much footy, you just sort of keep him in the flow as long as he's not sore. Would you rest, given they don't have a huge forward line, would you rest Connor O'Sullivan?
Maybe. Yep.
You bring Henry back in, you've got Colajazzi Henry as your sort of semi-talls, you've got De Koning. Yep. Do you think Junk Edwards stays in?
Yes. I raised that with the coach.
He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I said he wouldn't play this year, and he's played.
There's a few people have pointed that out, too, in the questions that are coming a bit
I'm
later,
I'm not
Benny.
Surprised. He's been good. There was a couple of handballs he did on Friday night against the Doggies that were just in traffic. For a younger player, his dimensions. He's still very raw, but,
vision is actually very good.
Yeah. And he's going to be one of those ruckman, which we love, Kingy. He's going to be one of those 206-centimetre dopey bastards that just makes that howling mistake. You can just see it, can't you? He doesn't get off the mark. There's going to be something he does.
Yeah, the one where he kicked it against the Eagles at Norwood, where he kicked it straight into the bloke on the player on the mark.
It was the second time he didn't get off the bloke. He took one step. But he's going to make you laugh because he's going to make that absolute boneheaded mistake. And there's a real bit of Damien Burke sort of old style, isn't it? Just punching it forward. And I would love to know.
Yes.
I reckon they were set plays. Because Bailey Smith went onto one.
Just fisted into space.
Well, I don't know. I'd love to know that. But, I mean, Damien Burke used to do that. That can be such a weapon.
Hmm.
If the guys off the half forward line know that your intention is to try and smack it forward, to be running off the square, you know, if you can run off the square and take it, yeah. I mean, if the midfielder can grab it and go forward like Bailey Smith did, and there was one other, I forget, someone else ran onto one as well, and kicked it forward for the Cats out of the middle. There was two, but
I think Holmes
may have got the other one.
Yeah.
But even if you're coming off the half forward line and you can get the ball and you got the midfielder running past, that can be such a weapon because it can just break the play up.
Yep.
And if you know that, I mean, it's not always going to work, but if you've got one bloke running onto something, I mean, you don't often see in the middle a bloke just bolting forward.
No.
You'd have to have two blokes a bit defensive if you're going to do that, because otherwise you get absolutely fried if it doesn't work.
Yeah, but whose turn is it to go? Baz, it's your turn to go. Max, your turn to go.
Yep.
Tanner, your turn to go.
But it is a bit of a weapon. And look, he's physical. He's athletic. He moves pretty well.
Yep.
And he's going to be a decent size once he fills right out. So there's a lot to like. They'd be trading Toby Conway.
Questions, Benny?
Loch Ness. What do you reckon Loch Ness would be thinking?
Yeah,
I need to get off the couch. I need to get out on the ground and show what I'm going to do. Yeah. Imagine if in 2 years' time and we've got Loch Ness
and Edwards.
And Edwards is absolute stars. I'll be just trading one for sure, for plenty.
Some questions?
Edwards, go back to WA. I'm up for questions.
At Edmund 59, is Junk the real deal?
What does that mean? As opposed to some sort of like a fugazi.
No deal.
Is a fugazi? What, I don't know what that means. Well, what does that mean?
Like, is he legitimate? Is he going to be a good footballer?
Is he going to be a good footballer? I think they'll have all the components are there to be a good footballer. Yeah, will he get there? Let's hope. There's a huge number of factors that can get in the way or derail you, or will it be at Geelong? He's not a Victorian. There's a million factors, but yes, on what we've seen, the old sample size. It's the needle king. Your little needle is like flicking up, isn't it? Yeah. You just hope it stays up and erect. I got a funny joke too.
No,
it's humorous.
Yeah, but whether I'm leaving it in.
No, it's about three rats. When I was talking about needles, needles going up. There's three rats and there's three and they're just chatting around the table. And one of them said, I'm really tough. He goes, you know that stuff they leave out for us to eat that's supposed to kill us? He goes, I crush it up and snort it. And the other two rats are like, jeez. And the other guy goes, why are you laughing already? The other guy goes, you know when they leave those traps out? He goes, I just take it apart and I use it as a bench press. And the third rat, he just lights up a dart and he walks off. And they go, where are you going? He goes, I'm off to have Hush McCundy with a cat.
Ben. Right. Not as funny as you think it is.
Yes, it is.
No.
A rat launching onto the cat. Extraordinary.
Dr. Venkman, Jeremy in full flight.
Memory. Dr. who?
Dr. Venkman.
Right.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, right.
Dr. Venkman _NYC, so I think he's based in New York.
Yep.
Jeremy in full flight, memories of sitting in the outer watching the great Gazook kick 14 in a losing game against the Bombers.
God.
Remember that one? Edwards having a real crack turning Ben's neck to his talents.
Yes.
Great to see Danger going for the big grabs. We'll stick next week.
Yeah, I the first bit of that, always smile when Gazooki's name comes up, but it was a big night. You're not going to see 10 too often. You're not going to see 7 at half time. And Jezza was loving it, wasn't it? They were trying to feed him that 10th goal.
Enough from Cario. Did you feel aroused or uncomfortable when Ben decided to get up close and personal with you in the K-Rock box at three quarter time?
Did you?
Uncomfortable.
That's a question for you, King.
In more serious issues, Geelong should get rid of Stengel and offer more money for melted butters. Win-win situation.
Yeah.
Well,
what did we say, King? What did I say about Stengel?
It wasn't going to work 5 years.
Look, Geelong have made a lot of good decisions, and they've been very good at retaining players. And you, if you do enough deals, you're going to get the odd one wrong. The only thing I'd say there is that
was there a little bit of responsibility taken by the Cats to put some structure around the life of Tyson Stengel, and that 5 years meant he had 5 years of structure around him, and the Cats were being almost good citizens with that deal.
Well, they'll say yes. That's what they will say. At the end of the day, you're running a business, and if you've got an employee who has a long history of being slightly off the rails, you don't want to lock yourself into that employee for an infinite period of time. His history would say that offering him a 5-year deal, and the other side of that, King, is that you'll say, the club would say possibly that, you know, they're offering him this and his welfare and all those sorts of things. And this, as you said, by offering him this contract, we're giving him a, you know, something in his life that offers real stability and structure, all that, yes. The other side of that is, it also offers him a whole new dimension of what he's capable of doing with what he's earning.
Yep.
So is he set enough? Is he smart enough? Does he have the vision and the motivation to actually do good on what is being offered to him at the club? And the history would say no.
Yep.
So you've got to put in all the fact. It's easy for the club for people to say, oh, it's all about helping him in this way. But at the end of the day, the Cats are running a business. So they have to make decisions. A 5-year deal, I would have let him go. I would have happily let. And this is where I just don't think AFL players like him, I would have got rid of him. I would have tried to trade him as soon as they won the flag. I honestly would have. I know people would think that is odd, but I would have thought you have got one absolute dynamic year out of a bloke who is probably unlikely going to be able to sustain it, given his history. So at the very least, at the end of that year when St Kilda were looking, I would have been saying fantastic. I don't know, would they have got anything for him if he went to St Kilda?
No, because they got him as a delisted free agent.
Right. So he would have gone to St Kilda. They were offering him big money. Geelong jumped in at probably less money per year, but 2 extra years. St Kilda were offering 3 years. I 100% would have been letting him go. I would have actually considered trying to move him at the end of the premiership year. Now, that might seem really harsh, but good footy clubs make ruthless decisions. And
Well, Geelong have made ruthless decisions over the journey.
They have. So where are we now? He's into his second year of a 5-year deal. He's not showing up to the club. His life off the field seemingly is far from what you'd expect from a professional athlete. Where do we go from here? Is there an out clause in his contract that if these sorts of things happen, Geelong are able to jettison him?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he doesn't show up for this year, we're going to have another Jamari Ulhagen. Geelong going to have to pay him to not be there. And it's going to reach ahead. And I mean, what are we? I reckon we'd be talking 600,000 to 700,000 a year. I think St Kilda were offering 850 for 3. Geelong offered, I reckon, I'm guessing, I don't know, 6 to 7.
Yep.
More money over a longer period of time.
Yep.
So where do they go from here if he's not showing up? And we're in round 7, and it seems everything you hear from people around Geelong for the last 2 weeks has been a disaster for him.
Mick Howley, how close was Benny to removing all clothing when Collar kicked his goal?
Yes, it was an exciting moment, Mick. I have to say, it was the arousal. I was like that rat about to go upstairs after smoking his dart and just launching on
right.
The cat.
Yeah. Who else? Trevor Young, some headaches coming up for selectors. Who goes out for Jack Henry? Who goes out when Stengel is ready to play? If Grimes is out with his knee injury, this is probably a straight swap. Yeah. Does Junk keep playing or get a rest? Stanley comes in. I think at some stage, Edwards will be managed.
Oh, it'd have to be.
And Stanley will play.
Yeah, I agree.
And O'Connor has earned his spot too. Well, Mark O'Connor comes straight back now.
This week, obviously, you don't think it's this week?
For Edwards?
Yeah.
Not
Port don't have a great, don't have a he's dynamic ruckman.
Racing car driver.
Vizzantini.
Yeah.
He's okay. He's not top of the pops. Would this be the game to put Stanley in so that Big Junk comes back for Cherry the following week?
So it's Vizzantini and Sweet.
Yeah, Sweet's a big boy. They're not.
No. Well, they had 12 combined disposals last week, of which Vizzantini only had 2.
Is Stanley ready to go?
Yes.
Is he?
Probably needs. Oh, no, I think he is because he was let loose on Friday night. He played. He'd been building up games.
So he played a full game.
Yep.
I just wonder whether your thinking is that do you rest Edwards this week, put Stanley in, and hope you can get the job done against two sort of what you would classify as mediocre ruckmen? And then wait for Cherry, who's top of the pops and is going to be fresh the following week against North. He comes back in this week, I think, Cherry. Mm. So he'll get a game under his belt. He's a very, very good player. Do you do that? Is that an option, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely it is.
But judging by what Chris Scott said, but what he says and what actually happens can
he's
be two
not
completely
say, oh, look, yeah, we're thinking about it this week. He's not going to tell
but
us.
He'll certainly get managed, Edwards, whether it's this week, next week, whenever it is. They're not just going to wheel him out every week, and I don't know what sort of things they use to adjudicate whether he's ready to go, probably how he feels, how sore he is. They must have some other data they look at. At the end of the day, it probably comes down to the player, doesn't it? But, look, he's certainly an asset. Let's put it this way, Kingy. Do you think, as it is right now, that if the Cats are going into the finals, Edwards is the ruckman?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd have to say that as well. Now, are we saying that in 16 weeks' time?
We don't know.
No. But to try and ensure that you are saying that in 16 weeks' time, he probably needs to get managed.
You have to manage him. Yep. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. From Big Footy, a cunning plan. Cracking wind down at the Cattery on Friday. Any word on the flashy outsoles of Danger's boots? Sitting at ground level every time he got near the ball, we were getting flashed by his shiny studs.
Reds. They're red. So I don't know whether they're glowing or it's just something that's shining off the lights.
Yeah.
I did notice that in some of the replays.
Like
a cunning plan. Do you know who always had a cunning plan? Blackadder.
Yes, and that's what he's actually got. He's got a black scene from Blackadder as his little avatar.
a cunning plan. Baldrick always had a cunning plan. Yep. Remember Baldrick had a poem once?
I didn't watch Blackadder. It's a little bit before. There's an age gap between you and I.
Ben Elton.
Yep.
Ben Elton.
Rowan Atkinson was in it.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson was Blackadder, but yep. it was Ben Elton and was it Curtis? Someone Curtis? No. Anyway, hilarious, absolutely hilarious. But it was very very funny, King. He had a poem once, but Baldrick, he was telling Blackadder. They're in the war. They had a series when they're in the war, and he goes, "I've written a poem, Baldrick," and he goes, "Boom, boom, 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 boom," and then Blackadder goes, "Let me guess, boom, boom, boom," and he goes, "Have you heard it?" It was very very funny. Some of that stuff, Kingy. I'm sure. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Curtis, was it Curtis? Ben Elton. And,
Can't help you there. Ben Elton's a very funny man. Very creative man.
He is it.
Question, why does Dempsey head back to the rooms each week just minutes away from the start?
Well, we believe that there may be sort of a little bit of...
Is it faith-related?
Yeah, I think, yes.
Yep.
That's look, I don't know that to be 100% true, but that is the rumour that he does head off and it is a faith-related pit stop, King.
Right.
Have you ever had one of them?
No.
Huh?
Jumping Jack, given the number of young kiddies watching the footage now, are you aware of the Ollie Wiltshire footage of him readjusting himself post-game?
No.
On Friday night that's doing the rounds. We've been asked for a full and thorough investigation. I'll show you the footage later, but somebody has posted it. Who's posted it in the Cat Attack Big Footy page? Posted by The Ranger, and it's on AFL Memes.
Is it like, is there some serious adjustment?
Yes, just putting everything back into place.
Does it sort of pop out?
No, it doesn't pop out. It just needs to be readjusted.
Well, how come?
I don't know.
Have you ever had to readjust anything?
Dudas Maximus, thoughts, my relationship with you sometimes. Thoughts with Elijah Hollands, what is the strangest act you've witnessed on any footy field? What is a team doctor's duty of care in such circumstances? Aren't they in the art constantly reviewing footage? I don't want to go too deep because it's a Carlton issue, but I suspect Carlton are going to cop a fairly hefty whack. Somebody at Carlton, well, a lot of people at Carlton, it appears, have dropped the ball.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can't fathom how in a professional organisation it could have reached that point.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. Yep. You've got that many people involved at the club who would have seen, had eyes on him pre-game, quarter time, during the first quarter, during the second quarter, half time. Surely somebody would have thought, hang on, something isn't 100% right here. Taking him out of that environment at quarter time or half time, taking him in a roof, done something equivalent of a concussion test, and said, I don't think this kid's right.
Yep. Foxdog 50.
So you can't fathom how none of that happened.
Yep. Foxdog 50, how did Mitch Edwards not win the NAB Rising Star this week? Honestly, if he was a midfielder and sneezed his way to 25-plus disposals, that'd already be engraving the trophy. But because he's a ruckman, actually doing ruckman things, like, you know, winning 30-plus hit-outs and battling all day, apparently that's just his job. Racks up 30-plus hit-outs, 9 touches, probably taps it down, lace out half the time, but nah, give it to a midfielder who handballs sideways 15 times. And yeah, not a genuine ruckman he was up against, but last time I checked, you still have to jump, compete, and not look like a folding chair in the contest. Ruckman do all the dirty work. Midfielders get all the love. Classic AFL. Benny, you may know the question of this. Players like Stengel and even Jamara Ugalhagen last year, if they are off on personal leave, would they be getting paid their full salary?
Yes, yeah, so my understanding is that they do, and that this is one of the things that irks the clubs, is that, I mean, in any other workplace, if you just don't show up enough, you get the chop. Mm. So... it seems it's very different at AFL level. And if this happens, if this plays out, continues to play out as it is for the remainder of the year, and Tyson Stengel doesn't return at all, and Geelong are having to pay him his full whack off the back of what happened with Ugalhagen the previous year, you'd have to expect that there'd be some changes to the way contracts are done, because there has to be some protection. You just can't... Like I said, if I just don't turn up to my work,
you don't get paid.
I'm not there. Well, I don't get paid, but I'm not there. They get rid of me.
Yep.
So we seem to have this different. Anyway, but my understanding is that they are paying him, and they're obliged to. I don't think, unless there's something specifically written into the contract, which you would have to think is probably unlikely.
Yeah. The Ranger talks about Tyson Stengel. We have touched on it quite a bit. Looks like the AFL is blocking his return under their policy, and it appears Scotty and Bailey and others are not happy about it. I think that is problematic. History suggests AFL are happy to ignore an individual's mental well-being to protect an image slash perception rather than doing the right thing. Yeah, that's up for debate. Well, we might leave that there for the moment. Daz Broncos, first of all, well done, Kingy, on making the 360 quad call for Jezza kicking 10. Nicely done.
Oh, good work, Kingy. I didn't see that.
Yeah. That was the last goal, which was good. With Tyson working on himself and hopefully getting the treatment he needs, whom do you think will take this opportunity in the 23? Is it Henry, Wiltshire, or another? I really hope Ollie Wiltshire. We know what Ollie Henry can do. I asked James Rowley the question before the West Coast game that Ollie Wiltshire is ready to take a game by the scruff. It will come. He's got the traits to be to turn a game in 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's yeah.
That, you know, he just needs a bit of space.
Well, he needs to get a decent crack at it. That's playing his position. He's not going to play well every week.
Ground like the Adelaide Oval might not suit.
Oh, GMHBA, big fast deck.
Yeah, but not wide, though. I reckon the MCG would suit Wiltshire where there's a little bit more room. Remember GMHBA, Adelaide Oval, they're narrower grounds?
I'm not sure about that. I reckon the Adelaide Oval will suit him, and that's why I think he's, at this stage, he's our only slick mid-sized to small forward. No one else is what you would classify as slick.
He's slippery.
Do you know the other thing? Ollie Henry has to get out of his game. It's a few things, but he's got to stop going one-handed.
Yeah.
He goes one-handed a lot.
Yeah.
Whether it's on the ground, in the air, you've got to go two hands. And his effort is A1. It's not like he's not trying.
He's having a crack.
He is, absolutely. But he's got to just go the two hands. I watched it on Friday night, and just the one-handed stuff was sort of a little bit frustrating at times.
Howler 41 finally got around to syncing K-Rock call with the TV. Maybe the best thing since sliced bread. In particular, the post-game when Reg spoke about himself being the Doug Wade of Gaelic footy. That was very funny. And I love when he refers to himself as Big Reg.
He was always sort of derobing as he was talking, wasn't he?
About himself.
Yeah, he was up and about.
Just a real team effort with some standouts. Obviously, really enjoying the follow-up work of Junk and the Big Fist Ford.
Yep.
Talking about managing. And Bordolina, of the AFL-listed players yet to make their debut, which three do you feel most bullish about in terms of their prospect of becoming high-quality AFL players and why? This is good timing, this, because we actually have a... I did a one-on-one with Mark Corrigan, VFL coach, that we're going to play back before the Port Adelaide game.
A one-on-one, Kingy? Yep. 60-minute stall. George Funkus.
I was waiting for it. Yeah. Probably more Ian Leslie.
Was it?
Yeah.
What about Yana Wen?
Where'd she go?
What? Yeah. What about... what was the other one? The blonde lady. What was her name? John Singleton's ex. She was on there.
Liz Hayes?
Yeah. She's...
Right. Anyway, so I did ask about the three draftees. There's one of the three that I really like, and that's Nick Driscoll. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
That they picked up.
Oh, Driscoll.
He's just, and I just, my composure caught his eye for somebody who is straight out of the talent league system.
His composure caught your eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mark Corrigan agreed.
You said my composure caught his eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good. Have you got good composure?
Not with you.
Yeah, no.
You've actually
written stuff down. This is the first time in the history of the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast that Kingy's actually had to edit out something that he said.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
I've had to make a note.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I really like him. I think Hunter Holmes is going to be a player.
Well, I haven't seen enough of them. We like the kid that they took with the first pick, but is he going to play this year?
Harley Barker. So this is really interesting. They'll have to make a call because they can then put him on the long-term injury list and then draft somebody, get somebody in the mid-season.
So at what point do they need to be doing that?
Probably in the next month.
You would have thought, when did he have the surgery?
I had it in August.
So, right. You would have thought... I'm only guessing.
I would
have thought they won't play him this year.
I would have thought, though, if your VFL are a chance of playing finals and you can get footy into him.
Would you rather, as a kid, just ensure he comes back, maybe trains with the group for a couple of months?
Well, we just don't know. I suppose the question is, we probably need... So the club have just got TBC. But it'd be really interesting next time, maybe we talk to Andrew Mackey, that when we ask about him, we go, how is he tracking?
Yeah, that might be a good question.
Because we're not... probably far from having Andrew Mackey back in the rotation. We haven't talked to a player pre-game.
Who?
No, we don't know yet.
But, wow.
But we're on air.
Pre-game, as they're just getting in at liniment, sort of soiled onto their limbs, yeah, five, onto their Warwick Farms.
We're on air at 5 o'clock Victorian time, and about 10 past 5, we'll be chatting with one of the players.
Right.
So I don't know whom.
That'd be exciting,
be confirmed.
We better get our best sort of questions loaded up there. I would have just thought on that kid.
Killian Burke's the other one, the Irishman. Yeah, I asked about him too.
Yeah, he moves. Daz is all over him. He's a big unit.
But back on Harley Barker.
Well, I was just going to say, he's not part of the AFL mix this year.
No.
He's probably not going to be part of the VFL mix. They've invested as a first-round pick on him, what, pick 20-something? So he's a kid that obviously has quite a bit of talent. You know more than me. Was he supposedly, had he not been injured, a top 10 pick?
Yeah. But maybe not top 10, but he would have been higher up the draft.
Was it a good draft?
We don't know that yet.
No, but was the rumour that it was a good draft or a thin draft?
No, I think it's a thin draft.
So my point would be that we saw what happened with even Bailey Smith, who did his knee and then had... At the end of 1 year,
pardon me.
The Ryan Crowley disease, you don't want it, okay? I can't change. So we saw what happened with him because he had effectively, was it 18 months before he played footy?
Yep.
I'm not saying that was the breaker, but he came back and didn't miss a beat. Yep. He didn't have any strapping. He doesn't seem to have. So he had the extra time. Are you going to rush a kid back to play a couple of what potentially are meaningless VFL games at the back end of the year when he could join, finish this season, train with the group, maybe get 6 weeks of training in with the group, feel part of it, go away, have a break, come back, do a full preseason?
If you could get some VFL finals into him though,
do you reckon that would make a difference in the sort of
But maybe in his head,
in his career, but, in the pathway
but,
of his
but
career,
maybe in his head too, he needs to play. It's August 2025.
Oh, he's only young though; he doesn't know any different. I'd be if he could come back in July, and
he may well be.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to have to make that decision.
He might get 6 games in. He might get 6 away games in, and then two or three finals.
If he's at the moment, he's trending really well, getting close to full training, and they can get him back to full training in June, and then you can hit the ground and have 6-7 weeks of home and away in the VFL. Yes, if you're just patching him up, or not patching him up, but just hoping he can get back for a couple of games. I mean, the finals are going to be red hot in the VFL. You're not coming back easy games. I don't know. I'd be with a player of at his age. Hopefully with the career the Cats hope he will have, I'd be really erring on the side of caution rather than playing. At the end of the day, Geelong aren't aiming to win the VFL Premiership.
No.
That's not their goal.
No. If they happen to, well, so be it.
Yeah.
Download the KROQ app for delay-free. Sync it up to your TV. It is a KO game this week or a Fox game. The next three are all Fox games for the Cats. They're not on a free-to-air again until... I think the Thursday night game against the Brisbane Lions in mid-May. So sync it up, Benny.
Yeah, I'd love to do a little bit of syncing king. We need to mark the milestone on the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast that something you've said had to be edited out, and you did it inadvertently, whereas I say things that I knowingly that you will edit out. And there was some things, there was a joke I said that doesn't need to be edited out, and there's a few other things that I said that don't need to be edited out, including the great tennis, the great man I grew up watching, who used to play against Brod Dyke, used to play against Mark Edmondson, the great big American Hank Fister.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.